Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
The banner unfurled by the Dunfermline Ultras at the beginning of yesterday's match said identity, unity, passion, more than just 90 minutes. Luckily, only one side showed that, and that was the Bairns of Falkirk. Yes! We've reached the big 4-0, ladies and gentlemen. That's now 40 league games unbeaten. The streak continues with that big win at East End Park. We are here to talk about it. Hello, I am John McNally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Pod, one-man band in the main stand. I need to start thinking of different rhymes for you now, Ross, now that we're at the season three of this podcast. It's Ross Wayne.
I am still smiling. How about you?
Yeah, it's an absolute buzz. Just, you know, it was when you got back in from the match yesterday, went back to Elliot's, had a couple of pints, got... By the way, I got them. I jumped on the Larbert train at, I think it was about 7:20, and everyone was piling off from the firm, so all the ultras were getting off this one train, and off when I got on the train, they had all come off. There was, it looked like there was one of the two of the boys were getting spoken to by the constabulary, but it was just the woman. I could hear just the people that were just the civilians on the train were just kind of tutting, going, shocking, lift that boy, shocking. So I was just sitting smiling inwardly to myself, but yeah, no, and then staying up, you know, obviously getting back, and that's, it's that wait for watching the highlights again, the interviews, you know, Cole Donaldson, John McGuinn spoke to Falkirk TV after it. There was a lot of videos doing the round, so it was just like not off social media, just absorbing it all.
I was the same. It was like, because obviously I got home probably just literally just before you, and yeah, had some dinner with the family, but I could not stop smiling. And as you said, like, social media was fantastic last night. Not just like people, like Bairns fans chucking on loads of videos and pictures, which is like brilliant, but obviously the meltdown from that side of the fourth is just fantastic. So you could not revel in that for a few hours, could you?
I know, I have to say, like, who was it that got straight into Dunfermline when they put up the post of the result, and it was the picture of Holly Willoughby saying, "Firstly, are you okay?" Loved it.
That was. Do you remember Malky was on last year, yeah, with his daughter? That was
Malky. Yes. Malky. Well played. It was, that made me laugh, and I've since taken that meme and gif and used it to a lot of Dunfermline supporters I know, which has been brilliant. So well,
Stephen
played.
Mill as well, by any chance?
Well, maybe. So yeah, it was a great day yesterday. We're going to talk about the match, obviously, with our guest pundit this week, Scott Henderson, the owner of Crunchy Carrots, our sponsors. So we'll get into that a bit later on. But first of all, we've got to thank our sponsors, as ever, the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, the T8s, supporting each other through football and making memories along the way. Now, the T8s had a bit of a weekend of it. They were all up at Ness United, I believe, Ross.
They have been, yeah. We got a message from Dougie McCallum. Goalkeeper Dougie, yes. He's looking resplendent in the photos I saw of him in his new goalkeeper shirt and strip. They look brilliant. But yeah, he had dropped us a message just to give us a bit of an update, and they'd put pictures on social media. So he said it's been a fantastic weekend. So Ness FC, they're up at the Isle of Lewis. So they would have had to have gone from Ullapool, I think. Is it Ullapool to... Stornoway or something, so they would have made that journey on the ferry. But yeah, he says great hospitality, just similar to when Ness come down to Falkirk. They raised £1,000 for a local hospice for the game that they played, which is fantastic. However, the big news story here, and it's never about the score, he did tell me they won, but it's never about the score, but what he said was BBC Alba filmed the full thing. So there's going to be a documentary, I don't know if it's just on Ness or the football fans in training type thing, but he says that's a documentary on BBC Alba, and that's going to go out towards the end of this year. He also let me know that Willie Anderson, one of the team, he scored an amazing free kick in the game. However, he did say he had to play part of the game. Doogie had to play part of the game with a GoPro wrapped round his head for the BBC album, obviously. And he said, however, at one point it came flying off when he dived to make a save. It was a one-handed save. He pushed the GoPro in the air and the other pushed the boy around the post. He says it was a fantastic weekend to wind up. They told one of the guys that was there that he needed Euros. And he was asking about if he could get Euros in Liverpool. And then someone else, they'd added stones to somebody's bag before they head home. So obviously he was like, I'm knackered, this thing's heavy. So he just said it was a fantastic trip again. Well, I know we share it all the time, but have a look at the Football Fans in Training T8's Facebook page and you'll see photos from this weekend from Ness FC as well. And it just looks absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Check out the photos. The link to the T8's Facebook page is in the bio below. And obviously, the guys just announced this week as well, they're going to be sponsoring the socks this season as well as this podcast. So look out for their names. And if you want to get involved with the boys, we say it every week, Monday and Tuesday, they train down at the stadium, 8 to 9 on a Monday, 7:30 to 8:30 on a Tuesday. And they've got the Lava Cup coming up next year as well. So get involved with the boys. Like I say, you can hear from the stories, brilliant bit of banter and just good fun. So if you want to get involved with the TX, please do, and get involved down at the stadium Monday and Tuesday. Join the group, make some memories, as they say, because that's what the boys are all about down there. We've got to say as well, thanks to Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global. Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales. I will be going in there, I think, on Friday, actually. So I'm going to the Rosebank tour, so I'm planning on going up the town afterwards, so I'll definitely be popping in. I was gutted the Rizzles. You're not a big music guy, Ross, but the Rizzles, like a Scottish punk band, they probably most famously known for Somebody's Going to Get Their Head Kicked In Tonight from the Jackass movie. They played on Friday night. A couple of Falkirk supporters who we know are punks, that I'm sure would have all been there. So I missed the gig, so I was gutted about that. Though I did notice them, they've announced Hue and Cry again, they're going to be there next year again as well. So a lot of good gigs going on there as well. And unfortunately, Brian has messaged us and said that their Invincible beer has sold out now, and the all glasses are all gone. I knew I should have got one a week last Friday. So absolutely gutted that's gone. But he says he's on the case. He's going to get more glasses and more beer made up. So look out for that coming back in Behind the Wall. And remember, they're still running the buses. Speak to Scott Behind the Bar or Brian. Get yourself booked on the bus. Filling up nicely for the Hearts game on Saturday. I would expect that'll fill up really quickly. So if you want to get down to the game and get a free drink, because it's only fiver down, and that ticket gets you a drink back up at the pub after the match, absolute no-brainer. So get down to Behind the Wall this Saturday ahead of the Hearts game. We're going to be talking about the Hearts game a bit later on with none other than Ewan Cameron, so look forward to that a bit later. But yeah, get down to Behind the Wall before the game, and remember, they run buses to the game. Speaking to a couple of boys that were on the Behind the Wall bus yesterday, and they didn't come out of Behind the Wall till closing, funnily enough. So they know who they are, by the way. But yeah, they were in Behind the Wall till closing last night after celebrating a very, very good result. So it sounded like a good night and up there last night as well, as expected. Right, let's get into the club news then. And first of all, news of our own, actually, Ross. We were down at the stadium at the community pitch on Friday, as we've just announced that Falkirk Daft will be supporting the women's team. We are sponsoring the armband and also the captain, Anna Murray.
We are, yes. Brilliant to be able to sponsor both the men's and the women's captain this season. So absolutely delighted. You and I got a chance to go down for a bit just as started their final training session before their first match of the season, which is now taking place today. And the breaking news, well, actually, it's not probably by when the time this comes out, but they've won 4-0 against Stennis Muir.
Which is brilliant, because he struggled against them last season, so that's brilliant. There's been a massive turnaround in the squad. I was speaking to Stevie, one of the coaches, and he said there's been a big turnaround in the squad. Anna, who is the captain's, come in from St Johnston. A lot of other girls have come in. They've signed new keeper Karen, because Rachel went to Livingston, and Cairns come in, he's from Rangers as well. So there's been a real turnaround in the squad, and obviously they've went out and pumped Stenny 4-0 today.
They have, yeah. No, the Ian Stenny, he's already put some pictures up on his Twitter feed. So if he's not sent us any yet from Saturday's game, he's probably had a real busy day with the women's team. So, but yeah, he's put some pictures up already on his Twitter page. But yeah, goals from Natalie Brown, Olivia Murphy, Fiona Walker, and Eva Rill.
Oh, so, Eva Rill was player of the year last season as well. Yeah. So I saw Eva was training down there on Friday. But no, great to be involved with the girls, and you know, hopefully a success on the park like the men's team had last season. And you know, they've went up a league, so it's great to see them doing so well. And yeah, I'm delighted that we're involved with them, because you know we should have thought about this, you know. And we,
I know,
it was only until someone, I think it was Josh, came to us and said, why don't you, and we're like, yeah, that's absolute no-brainer to support the women's team as well as the men's team. So great to be supporting the women this season as well, so we're delighted with that. Just an FYI, they're not giving the armbands away, the women's team, though. So but please get down and support them if you can, and watch the games. So we'll keep that on our socials, sign up for our social, and we'll keep you informed of when and where the girls are playing. So great to be involved with that. Other news this week, Tom Lang, there's an interview with John McGlynn in a build-up to the Dunfermline game, now saying that Tom could be out for, well, we don't know when. He says, I think it's just the foreseeable future, which is, you know, almost a piece of string. Gutted about that, absolutely. Well, personally, I feel there should be some sad music playing.
I was just about to say, you should put some.
You know, I'm gutted for Tom. Obviously, an integral part of the Invincible team, and it's a worry, I guess, from our point of view. You were hoping that Tom would come back in, but that money, you know, we talked about the money we'd maybe get for the cup run. We're saying maybe that's earmarked for another striker. At this point, you think with Tom out of the foreseeable, it might have to be put aside for a centre half.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what John's thinking. We do have quite a bit of cover, but then obviously it then means you've not got cover.
Obviously you've got obviously Leon on the bench who can come in, put
Sean
Mackey in there, or you've got Finn who can come in and put Keelan Adams in there. So you have got that cover, but at the same time, you know, you want a proper centre half, I think, in there, you know. I'll be interested to see if and when we make a move. Because we did, I think, and I assume John McGlynn's thinking the same as we are, centre half and centre forward are the two positions that probably need, you know, cover.
Extra cover. It's it's going to be an interesting last couple of weeks. Obviously, he won't maybe know how much money, if any, he's getting until after the Arch game, because it might depend on how big the crowd is, as a for instance. So we know so far that there's at least 5,500 going to be at the game. So Falkirk put out last night saying they've sold over 3,000 home tickets so far. Hearts have sold the away end, so there's 2,000. So you're about 5,500. If we could maybe get to 6 or 6.5. At any, this extra money potentially could be another signing. So if people can get along to the Hearts game on Saturday, it's unbudgeted income, as Jamie told us, isn't it? So get along if you can. Hospitality is still available as well, as we know. I think the club put an email out today as well. So there's still hospitality there and what have you. So, and you can win hospitality, which we'll talk about shortly too. But it's gonna be interesting. I feel for Tom. It's because obviously he's had that massive season, massive impact at the club. He's a fan's favourite. He's your favourite as well, as we know. And mine. He's such a lovely guy. I know I've said this. I couldn't sing his praises highly enough. Personally, as well, from his interactions with me too. And he just, I spoke to him very briefly over message in the last couple of days, and he's. He's focused about coming back, but he's gutted that he's out there now.
Yeah, I mean, do we put the blame for rushing him back? I mean, he obviously played pre-season in that Dumbarton game. Now, my worry is that I'd heard from Raith Rovers supporters, and this was actually on the Terrace podcast, that John McGlynn has a tendency to go against the medical team's wishes. Sean McGuigan was talking about it. And do you think we've rushed him back too quickly? Just like, we need Tom, because he played that Dumbarton game and then was like straight out after it.
No idea, mate. I think one thing that's not being talked about, because I did hear that, Sean, we're going talking about that, Ruth. You need to remember the player as well. I don't think Tom Lang would play if he didn't feel as if he was ready. So that, and that's just me, because I think if it was me, you know your own body. So I think Tom will have had a say in whether he's fit and able. Now, he must have had a few weeks pre-season before that Dumbarton game as well, and he's obviously not had any issues there. So who knows, John? Who knows? But we are where we are with it. It's disappointing for everybody. I'm sure he'll be back as soon as he's ready. And I really mean that. I hope we see him again in a Falkirk shirt, because it would be a travesty if he wasn't to kick a ball this season.
I know, fingers crossed. Best luck for Tom getting back to full fitness. Rhys Walker is out on loan again. Obviously someone that we've got a lot of hopes for. He's out to Cowdenbeath on loan this time in the Lowland League. I think it was Camelin Rhys was at last season. And he's out now to Cowdenbeath. It's a step up. We'll see how he does. He scored in his debut during the week as well. So, you know, someone
I like him.
Obviously, yeah, I've got a lot of hope for. So that'll be interesting to see how he does there. And, you know, probably I would suspect he's there till January. I suspect we'll maybe see at that point he might get brought back into, depending where we are with injuries and what have you.
Yeah.
He might get brought back into the side depending where we are with it. But good to see him getting off to a scoring start, Ross.
Absolutely. It's exactly what you want from these loan deals, is the guys going out there and showcasing what they can do. And to score in his debut is exactly what he would have wanted. John McGlynn would have wanted, and I assume Kevin Beath would be delighted with that as well. So, no, absolutely brilliant for him. I've liked him every time I've seen him, admittedly, which is not like hundreds of times, but any time I have seen him, I think he's got a future, a big future in the Falkirk first team.
Good to see that. You know, the youth system, we're talking about it yesterday, you know, good to see young players on the bench that, you know, might get the experience of that game, you know, might have a, you know, a sniff of a chance if we're doing really well, getting off the bench. When you look at McCrone and Sinclair and boys like that are on the bench, you know, so it's good that we're keeping them. I'll be interested to see, you know, I think at the moment the squad's a bit thin, so I think John McGlynn will have in mind that I need bodies in there just in case. But depending on what happens, maybe a couple of the other boys will go out on loan as well, but we'll wait and see.
Quite possibly, but the other thing, as you just quite rightly said, even just being in and around the first team on a match day is going to be a massive thing, because they'll see and hear everything that goes on in a first team dressing room. They'll see and hear everything that's on the bus going through. What an amazing feeling that would have been for the young lads on the bench yesterday to go and warm up during the game and have almost 3,000 Falkirk fans cheering you and clapping you and encouraging you. It must have been like the hairs must have been standing on the back of their necks. It really would have been.
That was great. Our email that went out this week was seeing the improvements around the grounds. We, you know, North Stand car park, the potholes have been filled in there. The seating, they've got more. They've been spent $5,000 on the seating deck, new legs, bases, and rings for the seats. Ken McAllister stand fence has been sorted now, thanks to the boys at Arbuckle. They sorted that out. Obviously, we've talked about pies so much, obviously, about the investment in the kiosk. And by the way, I've got to get a funny... I need to make a proper jingle, but for now we'll go... Pow,
pow, pie watch!
So we
that checked was horrendous.
Out, thanks, mate. we checked out the pies at Dunfermline. And yes, they are cheaper. They are cheaper. £2.90 for a Scotch pie at Dunfermline. £1.80 for a drink. £3.10 for a Donner pie. And £3.30 for the Bridie with the prices there yesterday. So yes, they are. I think it's £3.50 for a Scotch pie at the stadium. So that's 60p cheaper at Dunfermline. We will continue. So Pie Watch at the moment. Dunfermline has the cheapest pie. And we'll put that in our notes and we'll continue with Pie Watch throughout the season, but Dunfermline currently in the lead with the cheapest pie at £2.90. There you go.
That'll be a really well-priced pie in League One next season as well, won't it?
And the most exciting bit is the floodlights have been sorted, but not only have the floodlights been sorted, we can now have a disco, later in the season, we'll be able to have, we've got the software which allows for light shows, so it'll be like Scooter or the GBX down at the stadium come the end of the season. I want to see it happen.
I can't wait. I genuinely can't wait for that, because obviously you do You do see these light shows at like, well, in Scotland, you see them at Hampden and Parkhead and Ibrox and stuff. Actually, I don't know if Rangers do have them, but Celtic have them. Hampden's got them, and you obviously see them at other European stadiums. I just can't wait to see it at Falkirk because it'll just be kind of surreal to see it at either a Championship game or like a Scottish Cup game or maybe even a Challenge Cup game this season. So it'll be kind of cool. I like that. I like
Get
that.
the scooter on, get the GBX on, and let's have a rave. Come on, let's get the
Surely
glow
we could,
sticks out. Woo!
surely we could get George, your best pal.
Aye,
Get
aye. I'll
him.
say to George, we'll get George sorted out. We'll get him playing some GBX and get some
There we
light
go.
sticks in the go. That'll be. We can make that happen. Yeah, so
Could
we
we not get him like a, you know where the stadium announcer sits? That's perfect for like a DJ booth or something. We turntable and everything. That'd be
I'll
class.
suggest it to him.
Right.
And see if he fancied it. But I, yeah, we'll that'll be a good laugh later
When
on.
do we play Morton? Because that's his team. We could make it a
You could do it
Falkirk
for the Morton
Morton
game. I'll get charged in for that. That'll be a laugh. Yeah. So, and talking about stuff around the stadium, I was talking last week about flagpoles and the fact that where are the flagpoles? Now, we've had a bit of correspondence on the flagpole situation coming from some of our friends, especially Pablo, who obviously wrote the Untouchables book. He's been touched in saying that he's a bit of a flagpole expert, actually. So this is what Pablo had to say. He said, basically, he used to fly flags in his garden every month made by different artists. He has a flagpole, right? The flag that they presented last week would not have worked on most flagpoles, of course we do. The press station Friday showed the flag the wrong way around to the face. We knew that. Typical SPFL cock-up. I think it was probably meant, Pablo. I don't think it was a cock-up that the flag was that way. If you want to show the league flag permanently, like we used to do, then it have to be done. A 15 meter flagpole costs only about 100 quid. Who knew?
Didn't know that. No.
So what we can chip in, we can get a flagpole. And Alan actually said I was right. There was used to be flags in the northeast corner. I thought it was the south east corner. But yeah, Alan Dick, who obviously we know from hospitality, Alan's been. I remember at one stage he said this reminded me as well. So we had three in the north east corner, but he said we also had flags along the fence, remember, representing the different countries of all
Yes,
the players that used
I
to play.
do. I remember that now
You had
because
like the Dutch, the Trinidad and Tobago flag, Spanish flag, all that, right? I've totally forgot about that.
That's yeah,
Totally
no, I had
forgot
forgotten
about
about
that.
that as well. Yeah, I forgot about that as well.
Yeah,
That's
bring back the flags, though. And I have to say, I don't think we've got many foreign type players now, so I think it would be like Scottish, English. Akim from?
well, was he not born in Italy, but he's got Ghanaian parents or something?
So we'll just double up, have an Italian and the Guinean
We can double check that, yeah.
flag
But
there for that.
no, I like that.
So
A fun fact for you.
more flags
Yeah,
is what we're saying. Bring back the
fun fact.
flagpole. 100 quid, we'll chip in.
Yeah, well, we've said this before. Get it sponsored, Graham Carbis, Jamie Swinney. Get it sponsored. There you
Yeah,
go.
sponsored flagpole in the northeast corner.
Interesting point though. When last week, where obviously we were talking about it, and I was looking for a graphic to use on our socials. When you type in Falkirk flag, it actually takes you to the Falkirk Lesbian and Gay Society page, which I had no knowledge of. So if if you're ever looking for a society page,
Type in
that's what you
Falkirk flag. There you go.
type in
And
Falkirk
how
flag. There you
did
go.
you join up?
No, they wouldn't
Ah,
take
all right.
me.
But there you go. So flagpoles. Let's get some more flagpoles in the ground. There we go. Right, let's get into the game that we want to talk about right now, though, and talk about that win against Dunfermline yesterday. And we've got to do it in the company of a man, big Falkirk supporter, big supporter of the club. You'll see his company's name on the Falkirk strip for the last couple of seasons. It's Scott Henderson from Crunchy Carrots.
How's yourself, guys? You okay?
Very well, very well,
Very
especially
well.
for yesterday.
Smiles on our face after yesterday. Absolutely, it's a good time and good time to come on and talk Falkirk, Scott. Before we ask you usual questions, Crunchy Carrots, tell us a bit about Crunchy Carrots. You guys kind of came out of nowhere, I think, a couple of seasons ago, and everyone's going, "What's this Crunchy Carrots?" It's suddenly
What
in
this
front
is
of the
Crunchy
top end.
Carrots?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about that. What the F is Crunchy Carrots? We've been in business now for 7 years, a bit longer, really. We're based in the town centre. We're right next to the behind the wall. We're now in the old Leckies, John Leckies building, infamous in the town centre. So where I am at the moment. So 7 years we've been open for, and basically we're online marketing. So anything online, such as web design, hosting, management, we do marketing. So we can be your online marketing partner, which offers a bit of social media marketing, so we can help you out with that. We can do targeted ads through Meta or through Facebook, Instagram, and also Google. We also offer graphic design, photography and videography. So it's a kind of full package. If you're looking for a website, we can do everything else around about it. If you're looking for online marketing, we can create a website. So it's a full kind of package we do offer, all in-house. A group of a team of 12 brilliant people who work in this office, work very hard, and yeah, we that's us. We've been, as I say, around for a while now.
Yeah, brilliant.
Scott, I was just going to say, so how did the conversation with Falkirk come about then? Were you in hospitality one day and it came up, or what was the kickoff?
Honestly, I was in Magaluf pished on a stag do. And I got a call in the morning from somebody who we know, and he's like, "What do you think?" Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Absolute steamboats at the time. I woke up in the morning thinking, I think I took a phone call yesterday. At that point then I thought, you know, let's carry that conversation off, and met up with Jamie. I knew Jamie a wee bit when I was at Stennis Muir days, but I met up with Jamie, had a few conversations, a few coffees, just open honest conversations, and then we thought, yeah, let's go for it.
Brilliant. I mean, you're obviously a massive Falkirk supporter, Scott. You wouldn't be involved in the club otherwise. Let's talk about your first game then, first memory of Falkirk.
Do you know, I knew you were going to ask that. I do not remember my first game, and that's a bit of an age thing. I'm not giving my age away here, right? But I probably will.
It's all right.
Can I just say as well, by the way, I have got a bit of a hoarse throat, and you'll probably know why that is. Now, when was my first? I don't know what my first game is, and I'd asked my dad, but he's no idea. But I do remember. I mean, I was in the, I can't give my age away. Giving away, it was the mid '80s. So I would have probably said I was probably eight or nine. Would probably go to the games, 9 or 10, round about then. I just remember obviously the players. I remember my dad taking me to the away games, the home games. We're on a Brooks's bus just around the corner, Newmarket Street. Yeah. What a trip that was. It's definitely put hairs on your chest when you're a 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy. some stuff. It was just guys in the bus pished, you know. It was good fun. Go to Airdrie, you know, all the A games. It was phenomenal. So obviously heading to the old Brockville many a times with my dad. As I say, I don't remember the game. What game it was? I just remember being a young kid, just heading to the games and just cheering them on. It's amazing. Loved it.
Amazing. And we're not asking your favourite Falkirk player this season, Scott. We're asking, who's the worst player that you've seen go on the Navy?
I'm not doing that. That's out of order. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to go against
him. What? Honestly, shite bag. Absolute shite bag. There's been some terrible players. It's okay. You can out them. It's fine. They've gone long gone.
Sorry, order. well, I should put you guys when you're down there another month there. I'll pick one of you. So does that sound?
Well, that to be fair, that wouldn't be far from the truth.
There's some amazing players I've pulled on the strip, and I've seen them as well, and even seen some players playing against us. Has been great, and I mean, back when I was a kid, Gordon Marshall was playing in goals, but then Tony Parks came in. I remember his first kick at the Brockville, and I'm sure, I think he stuck it over the crossbar of the other keeper. Obviously McAllister and Stainrod. Stainrod, when a couple of years ago when we were at the hospitality at the Dunfermline game, Stainrod came into the box, and it was like a wee boy. I was like, "Oh, Simon, sign this, sign this." And I went around the room around the corner, and Kevin's in there, and he's like, Oh, I saw that. So, but aye, those two guys are just up there. There's so many more though.
I know. I had a very similar moment with Simon Stainrod. I was actually my pal runs a hospitality school in Newcastle, and I worked beside him. And he says, "You've got to come to this game. You've got to come to this game. I'll get you in the hospital, and you've got to come to this game." All right, brilliant. That hospitality in Newcastle. Why not? And then at the end of the match, he says, come this way. And it took me up to the owner's suite. And then just wait, he said, just wait here. Can I take you in? But just wait here. Then this door opened, right? And it was like, almost like stars in their eyes. It kind of smoke billowed out and out came Simon Stainrod. And I was like, oh! So I got to meet Simon Stainrod because at the time he was Hatton Ben Arthur's agent. So it was an absolute, what a moment. What a moment.
Just a god, wasn't he? He was phenomenal. And Kevin was a different player, but McAllister was amazing. It was great to see those moments. Fantastic.
And again, I've met Kevin a couple of times, and every time I meet him, I just kind of get my words. Hi, Kevin, how you doing?
I know.
It's weird how you just fall back into this 8-year-old's mindset, though, because I'm the same. Like, was it last season? I remember we beat Dundee United in the Challenge Cup, and I know John's going to smile here. So we're in hospitality, right? And and Crunchy was sitting in the row in front, and he turned around and he was like, hey, and then he said my name, and I was like, fuck me, Kevin was my name. And then we started chatting away, and I'm like, I just couldn't get over the fact that I'm talking to Crunchy. And it's just, you go back to that 7-8-year-old lad who first idolized these players, eh? It's just phenomenal.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And now you get to meet them all, obviously being the sponsor, Scott, you get to meet them all the time.
Yeah, it's surreal sometimes, actually, because of that. I mean, there's so many other, there's Sammy as well, you know what I mean? There's so many who you're in there, maybe the boardroom or the hospitality, and you're even walking about the club, and you know, they're all kind of in the team now, you know what I mean? Just kind of chatting, how you doing, Scott, all that kind of stuff. So it's quite surreal. And I think there's a lot of these players that are obviously playing today. They're going to be heroes to all those young boys and girls who have grown up watching them. It's brilliant. Yeah. And that's something I'm sure all the guys know that's the case.
Yeah, and in 20 years' time when we're doing this podcast, as old men, like Jack and Victor, will be going, who's your favourite player, son? And I'll be like, Callum Morrison. Oh, I remember him. He was a great player. Let's get into the match yesterday and maybe explain Scott's hoarse voice. Falkirk 2, Dunfermline 0, Ross McKeever, Callum Morrison with the goals out at East End, and what a day it was, Ross.
It was, from start to finish, it was fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we were in Elliot's, kind of 12, got the buses through. I believe the Roman Bar bus broke down somewhere around Larbert, and there was just like this scurry of people just then suddenly having to drive through to the ground, I believe. But we were on Elliot's bus, they took three buses. There was buses going from all over the town. 2,700 bairns actually turned up at the game on the day. Absolutely brilliant attendance, and turned up to an unchanged Falkirk side. Surprised at that?
Yeah, no. We were talking about it, weren't we? We thought it might be the same. My only thought process, which I think I might have mentioned last week, is I thought Nesbitt, if he was fully fit, might have come in for Gary Oliver, but it would have been harsh on Gary because he's been brilliant the last few weeks, and he kept it going again yesterday. He was, for the time that he was on the park. Like, he was holding the ball up so well, and he's firmly cementing his current place in the team. So no, wasn't overly shocked with the lineup. But what I did, my initial thought was, and I looked at their team as well, I thought we're gonna do them today. That was my first thought. We're gonna do them today.
Were you as confident as Ross Scott? I certainly wasn't. By the way, I certainly wasn't. I would have taken the draw and run.
I was quietly confident, if I'm being honest with you. I went with Brian next door at Behind the Wall, had a few beers, and got the minibus through with him. So I had a good day standing with Brian. But we're talking about a lot, and who's, you know, who, what's the result going to be? And we jokingly said 5-6-7, but we never thought that. I think scraping a 1-2-0 would have been, and that's what it was. It was a scrape, but you know, that's what the score was. But yeah, the team they put out, I think it was a team to put. I think I'm a bit like Euros. I think the only one was maybe Nesbitt if he was 100% fit, but I'm not sure if he was or not.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that as we get into the game, but it doesn't appear that he maybe was. Gary Oliver, however, I think over the last, like you guys are saying, over the last couple of weeks, his link-up play has been excellent. See, between the midfield and just feeding it out, it's what Gary Oliver does really, really well, you know. And I think when he's been played up and utilised up front in the past, you know, he works so hard. He's great at that hold-up play, and sometimes you're like screaming just for Gary Oliver to be in the box. But that, in that 10 role, he's perfectly fitted for it, you know, and he does so well. And, you know, we'll talk about Falkirk Daft rated a bit later on, but he could certainly come into contention with the way he played again yesterday. Started off, we came out the traps, you know, the Ultras had created a brilliant atmosphere. I think every player you've heard that, like, they were just making the stadium bounce from as soon as they got in, like an hour before kickoff. The players clearly fed off that because we started off flying. I mean, Callum Morrison in that first few minutes had, you know, skinned his man, ran at Otto, and, you know, suddenly it's a yellow card in the first 3 minutes. And at that point, I'm going, and this was frustrating me throughout the game. It's like, feed the ball into Morrison, let him go at Otto. And then when the ball did get fed into Morrison, I was just like, he did that Kyle Morrison thing of just checking back constantly and just thinking if he could beat him for pace. But boy, Otto, I have to say, played after his initial yellow card,
played
very well. Very well. As a player, you went, oh, I wouldn't have minded seeing him in a Falkirk shirt. Very fast. Morrison didn't get much change from him.
I thought he was their best player, if I'm being honest. I think he was the reason Callum was having a quieter game. He didn't have a bad game, but he had a quieter game in terms, and so did Calvin for that matter. They weren't having a lot of joy, as much joy as they normally do down the wings. They were having to check in, having to cut inside. but the boy Otto, like you, John, my frustration was he got a very early yellow, and it would have been interesting had we put him under a bit more pressure to try and foul Callum again.
I was sat next to you. At points, I was screaming for Alfie to come on because we all know Alfie, you know, doesn't know what he's doing half the time, and it gives the defender no chance to know what Alfie's going to do. Captain absolute chaos. And I thought if you brought him on, you might have got sent off. Turns out we didn't need it anyway because we got the goal pretty much in the first 5 minutes. Keelan Adams, great ball across the face of the goal, and there he was. Big Ross Giroud to turn it in to make it 1-0. What do you make of the goal, Scott?
Yeah, obviously we were sitting up at the other end, up where we were. So it was harder to see until I actually watched the highlights back. I thought it was just a cross in. The next minute, it was in the back of the net, so we couldn't obviously see the touch. But I thought the play beforehand was fantastic. I thought Adams on the right whipping that ball in was the best thing to do. Just get that in there with pace. I don't know if it was a strike. I don't know if it was a cross, but he whipped it in at a good pace, and obviously the big man got the toe in the end of it, and it was back of the net. So fantastic, and the place erupted, absolutely erupted. It's mental.
Absolutely. 26 goals to go, Ross.
24, I think you'll find.
You're not taking friendlies. I keep telling you, you're not getting the friendlies.
John, I hate to swear, and you know I don't swear lightly, but I fucking am taking the two friendlies. Right? He's on 6 goals for the season, 24 to go. The big man is going to hit 30. Like Scott just said, we couldn't really see the flick from Ross at the time, so we all thought it was Keelan Adams that had scored. But really, really brave, brilliant touch he's just put in there. The scenes in that stand when that went in were amazing, but you didn't appreciate how amazing it was until you see some of the videos from the Dunfermline end after the game, and the noise, and like they always talk about limbs, don't they? It was just like bodies everywhere. It was absolutely fantastic.
Have you ever had a hug off of Big Brian?
No, I didn't have Brian down as a hugger.
Well, I tell you, give me a big bear hug, and Jesus, there's no air left in me. the place erupted. Talk about the ultras again. I know you'll talk probably more, but I thought that was contagious, that the kind of like the feeling that it just spread through the whole stand. Everybody was going, not just at the goal celebration, obviously, but throughout the whole. And I know that Big Cole mentioned about it as well. And I think it's because he was mentioning in his interview how when he came out, they all came out the early stages of the kicking the ball in the practice time, how the crowd were just spurring them on. He says, like, amazing. Yeah. You're away from home, you walk up the tunnel and you can hear our guys. It's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
I think obviously players experiencing that derby for the first time would just have been like, what the... I mean, because obviously there was boys left over from when we played them in League One, but the likes of McKeever, Calvin Miller, players like that who are experiencing it for the first time, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate, must just...
Adams. Be-
Adams, yeah, just going, what? Wow. It was incredible atmosphere. And, you know, we did say if we get that early goal, you know, that's what we need. And we got it because we know that Dunfermline could be quite dogged, quite frustrating. We saw that in League One. They're good defensively normally. McPake sets up his team difficult to beat. But from that point on, you know, we were just full of confidence, you know, and there was really only one team in it in that first half, certainly, Ross.
There was, and I think when you look back at the post-match interviews with James McPake, he says it as well. He says Falkirk were all over them in that first half. He would have been a relief guy to only go in just the one goal down. And we did deserve a few more goals. Like, we're still creating so many chances.
You know, Hendo trying the overhead kick.
That was a fantastic one, wasn't it?
The goal machine, Sean Mackey, maybe could have had one. He was excellent. I thought Sean was really good yesterday. Calvin Miller, you know, had a chance as well. Gary Oliver heading at the goalkeeper. There was plenty of chances there. And it was, I think, quite frustrating that we didn't go to capitalise. Because like you say, and I was surprised at how Dunfermline, they seemed like a team that were short of match fitness because we were first to every ball. We were hassling, harrying them. And like they seemed to me like, I don't know what you thought, Scott, but it just seemed like they were miles off it.
I genuinely thought we weren't out of third gear. I thought we had a bit more to go. I really did. I thought that we controlled the pretty much all of the game. There was a couple of spells from them, but it wasn't too much. I think if they never had that the boy on the left, the Otto, Callum would have run riot down there. He was very, very good. By far their best player. I thought there was a lot of players in that who could have won the man of the match from us. I thought Sean Mackey was playing like the Andy Robertson at Liverpool, that crossover. One point he was playing left forward. I was like, what? He didn't know it. It was fantastic. he was outstanding. Some of his tackles and his strength.
There was one point where he kind of slid and like the boy got it, and I was like, oh no, Sean, what are you doing? Boy loves a tackle. He's a man after my own heart.
Even the tackle we did in the penalty box, if he got that wrong, that was a penalty to them. Yeah. And that was at 1-0, I think it was. He was fantastic. There was so many others as well. Big Cole was his steady self. He was brilliant. Hendo, I mean, that guy, the work rate that guy's got is just ridiculous.
He just oozes class at everything.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Love the big man. Love the big man. But yeah, we there was nothing really to fear from Dunfermline in that first half. You know, going into the second half, they came into it a wee bit more. Certainly, they came out of the traps a bit better. Nicky, again, I thought Nicky did what he had to do yesterday, and he did it very well. The two or three things where he had to do, where he had to come and collect the ball, you know, when it kind of deflected, Chris Kane's shot deflected and it went out. The save he had from Chris Kane's header at the end, I thought, and his distribution again, it has, I think, been remarkably improved since last season. What do you think about Nicky, Ross?
Yep, no, he's nailed the number one jersey.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, we saw Jamie Seddon and there was that kind of question, will it be Nicky, will it be Jamie, he'll be number one. I think you're absolutely spot on, he's nailed that on. Obviously, Jamie's injured at the moment, but
it'll be tough for him to try and break into the team if Nicky continues this form. He really will, and I'm loving how he's commanding his area. He's coming for balls. He's catching. He knows when to punch. He knows when to catch. Two or three big moments yesterday, and he got them all spot on.
Yeah, aye. There was that period, Scott, in the second half where there was just a period where we had the big chance from Ross McKeever, and everyone was going. I thought it was just going to curl in and off the post, but.
Mm.
Callum Morrison was raging at Ross McKeever. Do you think he should have scored it onto Callum?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, McKeever's a striker. He's what to score a goal. He wants to get those 30 goals for Ross. You know what I mean? So he's going to try and bag it. It's understandable. And it was a one-on-one pretty much. So it wasn't as if it was miles out of... So I can understand him taking the shot. I think when it was at one, it was still a bit nerve-wracking because... You're sitting there thinking that a deflected shot or just a through ball or a set piece. There was one point where the referee gave a foul for them, and I was very, very soft. And the ball, I think it was about 10 minutes to go, whipped the ball in. And thankfully, it was actually Big Hogarth. I think he punched it away. Those moments where you could just get that lucky goal, and we'd all have came away thinking that it was never a 1-1. We deserved a 2-0 win at that, but it's not until you get that second goal we can relax a little bit more. It was for us shitting ourselves.
The thing is, we should have been. There was that little spell in the middle of the kind of half that we thought we've got to score here. We've got to score here. I thought Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate absolutely controlled that midfield yesterday, Ross. We talked about it. I mean, both of them in there. I mean, absolutely. Is it the best midfield in the Championship? It can't be far away.
For me, it is. Obviously, we've not seen all the teams yet, but when you do look at the starting 11s, I just don't see a better pairing. And they're seeing a lot of the ball. Probably more. They're on the ball a lot more this year than they were last year.
They don't panic. Neither one of them panics or does anything. They're always looking forward. That's what I love about the pair of them. They're always looking for that forward pass, you know, and they both got that kind of quarterback mentality.
Yeah.
Like when they're sitting in that pivot position, you know, with the two, like they're both looking for that ball and over the top. We saw Dylan try a couple, John McGlynn talked about it in his interview as well.
The pass from Dylan for the first goal down to Keelan Adams down that wing was like inch perfect for Keelan's run onto his drive into the box. Dylan, as you said, Johnny, he's passing him and Brad. Their passing is off the chart. And a special shout out to Dylan also for, I don't know if you saw it in the highlights, but
I did.
The first goal, and then he's running. It took me back to that. And he goes over to the northwest section, and he's given the crying thing, and he's giving it the ears.
Gives it the old ears. The shush, the crying. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. And listen, we'll talk about him. I mean, there's so many people that you put in contention for Falkirk Daft rated. I don't think, you know, I thought it was a good away performance, but. As you were saying, Scott, it wasn't a great Falkirk performance by any stretch. I mean, there was too many balls and that swirling wind going up in the air for my liking. And I kept shouting, why are you putting the ball in the air? Because you could just see that wind catching the ball every single time. But I didn't think it was a classic Falkirk performance by any stretch. I mean,
yeah, I probably agree with that. But I think there was obviously a reason for punting the ball up and should have spoke about it. The wind was pretty hefty, and the ball was in that air, and the boys did really well with the headers, and Big McKeever was jumping up, and Big Cole got it as well, and Big Liam, so they were doing really well. But I would have liked to have seen it on the deck a bit more, because especially you talk about there with Spencer and Tate. Brad Spencer, the first half was just phenomenal. He was just the cool guy, just... not put a foot wrong. Second half as well, and as was Dylan Tate, the through ball was his vision. The two of them were just fantastic. Really, really good. So I'm a bit the same. I'd have liked it to have been in the floor a bit more. I think we could have caught them out a bit more, I think. And I think you're probably right as well, putting the left back a little bit more under pressure for that second yellow would have been interesting.
Yeah,
but he didn't put a foot wrong, to be fair.
I was surprised. I was very surprised that Alfie didn't come off the bench. I don't think Cal Morrison had a great game, but he was on the pitch for that penalty.
He worked hard. I thought he did a lot of running.
Yeah. The penalty, though, was it a penalty, Ross Wayne?
Yes. At the time, I thought it was a 50-50, but having watched it back, I don't think he's given it for Ross McKeever. I think it's Dylan Tate being fouled. Because when you watch it back, right, the ref actually points at Dylan Tate with one arm, obviously points to the spot with the other, and he's pointing at Dylan Tate to say it was that foul. So he's almost let the... I thought the ref was all right, actually.
I thought he had a good game.
So on the Ross McKeever thing, maybe a bit soft, but then he's let the play go on after the Dylan Tate thing. I didn't realise they could do that, actually, play on a penalty. I thought it was a penalty or it's not, but he obviously let it go on, and then Ross was then kind of nudged as well, so he's just went penalty. So for me, it's the right call based on that 3 or 4 seconds.
I've not looked, but I'm going to have to look back at it, because I was just focused on the foul on Ross McKeever, which I didn't think was a penalty, if I'm honest, at the time. But if it is a Dylan Tate foul, I'm going to have to look at that, because I didn't really, you know what, I didn't even consider that. I just immediately...
I was the same, John. I read on social media this morning, a couple of people, Big Gordon Prophet as well, he was on Pan Bilver, and he says, well, if you watch it back, and I would then watch that 6, 7, 8 times, and Dylan is fouled. It's just your eyes are naturally drawn towards the McKeever situation. So for me, it was the right call, and fair play to the ref for doing it.
Yeah, fair enough. McKeever obviously had an interview with him with the Falkirk Herald, and he was very much, the ref's giving it kind of thing. So fair enough. But it was the Dylan Tate interest. I'm going to have to look back. Cal Morrison, no score. You know, very rarely misses a penalty now.
Oh, it was a peach. Yeah. He sent the keeper the wrong way, and he bottom corner. Even if the keeper went the right way, he'd have struggled to have saved that. Mm. I mean, just fantastic. Really good penalty. Right across the deck.
And we deserved the 2-0. We deserved the 2-0 at the end of it. So yeah, it was great to see. Slight concern, obviously, Aidan Nesbitt came off the bench and then had to go back off. And I also noticed that Michael McKenna was named on the bench, but I didn't see him.
No, apparently one of the other young lads had replaced him on the bench quite late on. So, McKenna was named by the Falkirk admin as being on the bench, but then didn't appear. So, hopefully, nothing too serious there. Perspective.
But I think it's out for 10 days, John McGowan said, which is a bit of a setback. Mm. You could really do with Aidan playing against Hearts next weekend. But listen, 2-0 at East End Park. It's been a long time coming. Natural order, restored. We're glad to say that. But no, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What was your kind of evaluation of the game, Scott?
Exactly that, to be honest. I thought we deserved the game, deserved the 3 points. Top of the league. And very well deserved. The lads, I think the teamwork that they put in and the way they work together on the pitch, and you can see off the pitch, the camaraderie is fantastic. We saw that last year, and it's coming in this year as well. I've been fortunate to go to the dressing room a few times with my kids. The kids love it, and they think they're just turning up to Falkirk, and they think they're going in there every time. But it's good. You can tell the way that they are all together. It's fantastic. And you can see that in the park. That's like everything. If you've got a good way of working together, it's you're going to get the results, and that's exactly what's happened. Fantastic. Right. And obviously, that's all from John and Paul.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised when I looked at the BBC sort of stats, and it looked like a fairly even game, but being there in the stadium, I think it was far from it. You know, it was 50-50 in terms of possession, shots on target, all relatively to even, you know. I thought we looked miles ahead of them. James McPeak after the game actually said first half Falkirk were the better side by a far stretch, eamed up a little bit, and second half agree with that. The really bit of a dig, I would say here. It's disappointing, but I can't ask more of my players. I think you can ask more of the players. I thought Dunfermline were poor. This game is a big game, so credit to Falkirk off the back of a very successful League One season. We know what that feels like. Very good.
Jeez. Do you know? I heard that as well, and I took the first part of his interview as a compliment in the respects of that he gave us the credit for the how we played and we winning the game. And obviously I heard him say that as well. We were a far, far different League One winner. And it's not disrespect. They did what they needed to go and they got out there, right? We've said that before and we'll stick with that. But we are a far, far better football team. I think we've got a far, far better squad in the Championship. And that I think that's his trouble. He has a League One team still in that division. And do you know what? He's going to pay for it because there'll be a League One club again next year probably on the way they're playing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, there you go. Big talk. We'll see how it goes. 0 points from two games, though, and a lot of abuse getting thrown at the board and the manager. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say.
John, only two games in, but that was a big one today. You must be delighted with the result and the performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely delighted with the result. Yeah, I mean, Derby game, they're all about results. You know, I think we'll play better, actually, you know. But, yeah, a lot of good performances, a lot of with huge effort, with big, massive effort, with big hearts to win the game. Good start in the game, really, really good start in the game. To score after 6 minutes, Keelan Adams is a great run, brilliant run. Got him behind, very positive with it, and his ball for Ross getting across the front of the defender, getting a touch in it, gave us a perfect start to get one up. And I thought we settled after that and kind of controlled the half. Maybe could have added to it. I think the goalies made a great save for Sean Mackey, a corner kick. And other little bits and pieces. But Dunfermline were very well organised, obviously. They were trying to make it very difficult for us to break through them. And it was actually quite difficult. But we had to be patient and try to work things to get through. Callum was getting a bit of joy, early doors getting in behind. The left back or two. One or two good balls in. So 1-0 half time. And then obviously Dunfermline have changed their shape again. So when I say again, because obviously they changed it from the start of the game, the first time they kind of played a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, what you want to call it, you know, from the start of a game. So there was a change there, and then a change at half time to the 3-5-2 that they've kind of been playing. And although they ended up getting a little bit more of the ball, it was kind of long balls, we kind of dealt with them fairly comfortably. Some long throws again, they can cause you one or two problems in set plays. But I thought every time, you know, we kind of broke forward, we were a threat. I think in transition we were a threat. And delighted, you know, the way that we moved the ball at times. Our finishing could have been better. Big Ross has got a great opportunity to put us, you know, two up. It was a great move. It was a brilliant move to play through the midfield, to play him in. He's shaping really nicely just to stick it in the faraway corner. And obviously he's put it too far wide. And so, you know, we maybe could have given ourselves a greater cushion earlier in the game. But delighted that the penalty we get, Callum stood up, bit of pressure on it, and he sticks it away. So, and then I think we see the game out fairly comfortably. So, yeah, Derby games, you know, got scrappy at times throughout the game. But I think, as I say, there will be some scrappiness within Derby game. There was swirling wind today as well, which didn't really help that much. The park was a little bit sticky, and the ball didn't roll too much. Guys were getting caught with it underneath their feet, sometimes making a little bit of fool of them, but. No, all in all, absolutely delighting. For the fans today, it was for them, wasn't it? It was all about giving it for the fans. You know, 5 years out of the Championship, coming here and winning. They had a great Saturday afternoon. I'm sure they're going to have a great Saturday night. It was for you guys. That was for you guys. You know, we've came here and licked our wounds, but today you guys can go and celebrate.
It was the same starting 11 that played against Queen's Park. Obviously, you know, they say you don't change a winning team, but we did see Aidan Nesbitt come on for Gary Oliver and then go off again. Are you able to give us a wee update on what his issue is?
Yeah, that's disappointing for Aidan and for us. Yeah, you know, he just about made it last week. He's trained all week. He's done all the training. He's done everything in training. And he's went on, and it's the same injury, unfortunately. You know, I don't think it's any worse than it was. You know, it'll probably take to Monday now just to get like calm down and see how it is on Monday. But it's probably going to set him back probably at least 10 days, you know, which is a blow. It is a blow. But, you know, as you said, we're stuck with the same 11. I think the guys can see the consistency in the team selection. If you're doing well and you're in a winning team, then you've got a good chance of staying in that team. I would never ever say that we would never ever change a winning team, but, you know, we have been consistent at times in doing that, but there's always... There's always that, you know, possibility that I would never say we would never ever change a winning team. But we certainly kept the team for last week, patting the back for everyone who played. and I think the players respond to that. They like that. You know, if you're doing well in a winning team, you're in the team, and it's up to the guys to put good performances when they come on and try to force their way into the team and make it difficult for myself and Paul to, you know, to pick a team.
I say now you've laid down a perfect marker in the Championship. Two games, two wins, but now it's time for a break already after two games, and it's Hearts in the Premier Sports Cup.
That's a break, eh? It's only play the third best team in Scotland. It's no break. It's maybe a break for the Championship.
Break for the Championship.
Break.
Yeah.
Come on. We've only played the third best team last season in Scotland. We drew last week with Rangers, you know. So, yeah, well, it's an exciting game. It's an exciting game. I'm sure there'll be a great atmosphere. I think Hearts have already sold out their end. So, and our guys will be there making plenty of noise. Yeah, I hear Cole saying there it's about a free hit. And I think it is, you know. I think it'll be a shock if we win. It's not going to be a massive shock if Hearts win. But we'll be giving it our best shot, absolutely. Of course we will.
Just lastly, you mentioned the fans today. Nearly 3,000 of them, I think, here. And we've talked before about kind of how crucial that support is, especially in a game like this. But it must be good to come here and see that from yeah. your point of view.
Yeah, from about quarter past two, they're singing from about quarter past two onwards. Absolutely different class, guys. Brilliant. Sure, you enjoyed that. The players obviously came up that top end there and celebrated with you. You mean it means everything to us. Absolutely everything. It's a joy to see that, and I'm sure you're enjoying seeing the team playing as well also.
Thanks, Sean. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
John quite happy, acknowledging the team. Worked really hard. We really worked hard. Let's hear what you guys are saying. Let's kick off with Danny. He says, we won ugly. God help the rest of the league once the boys adjust to the step up in opposition. God help them.
I agree with that, though. I think, as you guys have said it, I think we were a 7 out of 10 yesterday. See, if we had been on it for a normal game, an 8, 9, a 10, we would have put 3 or 4 past them. Yeah. Yesterday. Sam says, a glorious afternoon for us all, leaving the pitch dry to stop us playing our football.
Didn't I noticed that. Well for them.
They did do that, didn't they? And John mentioned it, as we've just seen too. Everyone on and off the pitch played their part.
Another thing you've got to say about the pitch, well, all that rubbish that was on in the Northwest, they just didn't bother clearing it up for some reason. It was ridiculous, even at half time. But anyway, Alan says, so many brilliant performances. Hogarth superb yet again, performing at an even higher level than last season. McKeever, what a player. Still
indeed.
With 26 goals though.
Well, another Scott says, outstanding performance from the first kick of the ball until the last. Everyone ran their socks off, and 2-0 is by no means a glamorous result. Could have easily been 3 or 4. Slightly nervous with Nesbitt being subbed off after coming back from his injury. Hopefully it's just a knock.
Fingers crossed. John says 10 days, so fingers crossed it is just that. Jack says, we won with heart today. The hero arc of this team just carries on. I love that. The hero arc, I love it. It's a long way to fit the finish, but whatever happens, these fans will be there. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Colin says, brilliant from start to finish. Second goal settled it. Big Ross has stepped up and looks the real deal as a 9. On route to 30 goals, Colin says.
Yeah, yeah. If it does happen, by the way, I'll owe you lots of drink. But that number 9, he's really taking that number on the back of his shoulders and wearing it with pride. Chris says, what a result, what a team, what a support. They couldn't lay a glove on us. Should have saved the money for the display to drown their sorrows. Everyone was good, but special mentions to Tate and Spencer, who were unreal. Do we have the best central midfield in the league? Well, we asked that question earlier on. Potentially we do.
Paul says, big Hendo, immense again. McKeever had another epic game. I sat in with the Ultras today and saw close up what they bring. Guys that are brilliant and never stopped. I can only imagine, because see guys that are now getting more into the Ultras at away games, obviously, because we know people sit where they sit at home, but for away games, they're now mingling, and it's just feeding off. It's brilliant, eh? It's brilliant.
It's good. Caroline says, Falkirk Dafty has got to be the state of their ground. Those black bags on the pitch were a disgrace. Caroline clearly likes it tidy like me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And to finish us off, Ultras 1876 said, love life. Fuck Fife, hashtag natural order.
There you go. Absolutely. Brilliant. Right, this is going to be a hard one. we'll go for Falkirk Dafty first of all, because I think the Falkirk Daft rated player is going to be really hard. Is there a Falkirk Dafty amongst the team, or is it coming from elsewhere, Ross?
I have someone who may well want to nominate himself as Falkirk Dafty. So I got a message from Derek Steele, ex guest pundit, known to many Bairns.
Yeah.
He messaged me just about an hour or so ago and said, what a magnificent day yesterday was. However, I had to go for a jobby just after kickoff, so I missed the first goal. He also subsequently left my phone in the disabled box and had to contact the security at halftime. You can mention that in the show tonight. Seriously, I'm 61 years old and I've never, ever seen a bigger and better support at Scumland. We are back since 1876.
But Steele gets it then. Derek Steele, you are the Falkirk Dafty of the week. There's no arguing against that unless you've got another nomination, Scott.
The only one I would think of is the mechanic who did some work on that bus that broke down in Larbert from the Roman Bar. That's the only thing I can get off.
True. The Roman Bar bus is another nomination then. Falkirk Daft rated. This is you could get three different answers here, I think. But let's start off with you, Scott. Who do you think should get the Falkirk Daft rated player?
So it's there's so many I think could get that. It's a hard one. Big Call I thought was immense as always. Big Hendo just worked his socks off in that position. He's filling that gap phenomenal.
It's
been Tom might struggle to get back into the team. He's doing that well. He's doing really, really well in that position. So Hendo was close. I've got to say, Sean Mackey for me.
Sean Mackey.
I thought he just nailed it at every point. His energy levels and his tackling and off the ball, just the running, ran up and down that wing like mad. It was just fantastic.
What was a man possessed yesterday?
Really? Yeah, first half, Brad Spencer, I thought he was as calm as, but I'm going to probably pick Sean Mackey, believe it or not.
Right, there we go. One for Sean. Ross?
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm going to stick with my full-time judgment, which was Dylan Tate. I thought he was fantastic yesterday. He really, really was.
Yeah, I think, like you, Scott, I thought Sean Mackey was brilliant yesterday, and it was a toss-up between him and Dylan Tate, but I just think after Dylan Tate played that and then seeing the footage of him give silence in the Northwest and giving the crying signs, I've got to give it to Dylan because I thought he was immense yesterday. So yeah, Dylan Tate for me. So that's Dylan Tate, one for the season. I'm taking a note of that for the end season. Scott, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time, and obviously thanks for the support you and the guys at Crunchy Carrot offer the club.
Thanks very much for asking me to come on. Delighted to come on giving you some of my football chat. So hope it was okay.
You did absolutely well. You did well, mate. You did well. And if you want, like Scott was saying, if you've got a business you're looking for online marketing, keep the money in the town with local businesses and give Scott a shout at Crunchy Carrots and he will sort you out. Just tell him you heard them on Falkirk Daft, you thought it was great, he might even give you a discount, you know, you never
discount,
know.
Discount, yeah. Yeah. Hashtag.
Use the code word Falkirk Daft. See, there's some online marketing for you, Scott. Brilliant.
Looking for a job.
Superb. And if you want to be a guest pundit, please get in touch with us. Email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Facebook.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So we are through to round two of the League Cup, and the draw was made, and we're facing Hearts at the stadium this Saturday. Big game, and I thought, who should we get on to preview the Hearts game? Who's a popular celebrity who's a big Hearts supporter in Scotland? Joel Sked wasn't available, so we got Ewan Cameron instead. Hi, Ewan.
Nobody knows who he is either.
Who other Hearts celebrity supporters have you got?
Nobody's a clue who he is. He works on some shitey TV show on BBC Scotland that nobody watches.
So we got Ewan on, and we've got to thank Ewan, because Ewan, at the end of last season, I put out a wee SOS because Ross's mum had a stroke and wasn't able to do Falkirk Daft Live, and my big pal, Ewan Cameron, stood in his position and interviewed Col Dawson and Tom Lang, even though he had no clue who they were, and he did a sterling job. So thanks, Ewan.
Oh, you're welcome. Two lovely lads, by the way. Col Donaldson's a big, big Hearts man. I mean, he's Hearts through and through. He bleeds maroon. He told me some really interesting stories when he was playing for Falkirk at halftime. He wanted to know what the Hearts score was during the League One campaign. So that just tells you how Hearts daft he is. He's not so much Falkirk daft as you'd like to think he is. He's more Hearts daft than he is Falkirk daft. And don't you dare edit this bit out.
I think he will be fully navy blue come Saturday.
He certainly will be. I know his dad. You were speaking to his dad as well. I spoke to his dad a couple of weeks ago. I was on the same bus with him. I was speaking to his dad, and he was saying, you know, obviously he's a big jambo as well. I was saying, how are you feeling about the tie? He said, what way are you going to go? Because obviously your son's captain of Falkirk. You'll be trying to keep Hearts out, and you'll be. So what end are you going to be in? He was undecided at that point, so I don't know what end Col's dad's going to be in come Saturday.
See, the thing about that for Col, he can't really lose. Even if you lose the game, he still wins deep down. Yeah, he might be hurting a wee bit because he's playing against Hearts. He wants to get to the quarterfinals, but then in a cold light of day, he'll be just as happy with Hearts getting through, and I think Hearts will go through.
And what makes you confident about that, Ewan? Because I saw your tweet after the Dundee game, telling, I believe, Stephen Naismith, I don't know what the actual quote was, in fact, I'll get it out, stop your pep shite. It was something along those lines. You were a very angry man after Hearts got beat off Dundee on Saturday.
Stephen Naismith, for the time that he's been in charge at Hearts, loves to tinker. He loves to tinker. We played really well against Rangers, unlucky not to beat Rangers at Tynecastle. It was a 4-2-3-1. And then what's he going to do? He goes to back three against Dundee. We were all over the place. We looked lost. We didn't know whether we were coming or whether we were going. The wing back didn't work with Taylor and Penrice. The three centre halves looked like they never played with each other before. It was just a shambles from minute one. And then when he changed it in the second half back to a back four, we're 4-2-3-1. We were suddenly on top. We scored the goal. And to be honest with you, we were unlucky not to come away with a draw. Oda missed an absolute sitter. Kyle Rowles had an opportunity. Penrice had an opportunity. So we created chances in the second half when he went back to the back four. But I think with Hearts losing that game yesterday, I hope lessons have been learned. And unfortunately for Falkirk, you're going to bear the brunt of that because we're going to absolutely smash you on Saturday. And I'll tell you why. You're a League One side that happens to be playing in the Championship. It's a League One side that got you to where you are today, and you haven't really made any significant changes from the side that was in League One. Mm-hmm. So you're a League One side coming up against a Premiership club who's in Europe, who finished third, have strengthened their team, and because of that defeat to Dundee, will have learnt lessons from that, and you're going to get smashed up and down the Falkirk Stadium. I think Hearts will win that 3-4-0.
Brilliant. Please, if you've just watched that part or listened to that part on the podcast, record that part and send it to Ewan if we do win on Saturday. Just that whole clip, he just went on his monologue about the Hearts. Please just clip that off, send it to Ewan. That would be greatly, because I'll be doing it. What do you think Hearts will do? Do you think they'll come out with a 4-2-3-1, or do you think he'll stick with a 3-5-2?
Nah, he'll go with the 4-2-3-1. I think Blair Spittle will come in. We might have the Colombian left back in place by the time that game comes round because we're waiting on a work permit for him. I think he'll go with the 4. I think he'll go with the 2, the 3, and the 1 with Shanklin up top. With Vargas.
Do you think he'll rest players, Ewan, or do you think he'll come out full strength?
No, not a chance. He'll need to bounce back after that defeat to Dundee. So it'll be a fully strength, their best 11 on the day. And I think Hearts will bounce back comfortably. I think it's the type of game we need. Away at Falkirk, it's going to be a big game for Falkirk because it's their cup final, because that's as far as they're going to get. I think Hearts are going to take through a huge travelling support. Unfortunately, it's on a shitey plastic pitch, but Hearts will... I've already proven.
Right, who had that in the sweepstake? How had they? I think he went about 4 minutes in, and he's mentioned the plastic pitch. Who had that number down?
John, it was expected. We could rhyme off the bingo. The Falkirk would go League One level plastic pitch. I'm sure he's going to mention something about the crowd or something shortly as well. But listen,
Falkirk fans will turn up with belief after winning two crappy championship games against Dunfermline and Queen's Park.
Remember we beat Dundee United as well in the League Cup, didn't you?
Amazing, yeah. Well, yeah, okay, big deal. But I think that Hearts have already proven they can play on the plastic pitch after what we did to Airdrie last season, who were in the championship. Mm-hmm. Airdrie thought they could take on Hearts. We beat them 4-0. It was 4 going on 7-8-9. You've not got a chance on Saturday. You really don't. And I know your tails will be up. You'll be confident because you've won two games against Dunfermline and Queen's Park. But trust me when I say this, it's best for you and every single Falkirk fan to go into this game expecting to lose, because see, when you do lose, it won't hurt as much.
Ewan, see, in terms of Falkirk, though, it obviously must bring back some horrible, horrible memories from years gone by, spit like cup ties and stuff, because we have had an Indian sign over Hearts for a lot of big games. Is that not a little bit of a worry in the back of your mind?
I was actually there that day at Brockville when Craig Gordon's debut and Colin Samuel, I think he scored a hat-trick that day.
He did, yeah, hat-trick, yep.
Yeah, I was there that day. I was working at Real Radio at the time, and I was there as a reporter, and I was in the main stand, surrounded by Falkirk fans, and I was just in a state of shock for that entire game. I couldn't believe what I was watching, how poor we were. But Colin Samuel on that day, he looked like a £10 million player. I mean, the guy was untouchable. And we're thinking, who the fuck is this? Where did he come from? What a performance. And yeah, on the day, Falkirk were outstanding at Brockville and thoroughly deserved their win that day. And I think just they took Hearts by surprise. Listen, I might be over-egging the pudding a wee bit by banging on about how easy this is going to be for Hearts. I'm going to buy 3 or 4-0. Listen, it's going to be a tough game. I know that. I know that Falkirk have had a brilliant start to the campaign, but I just think that Hearts' quality is just going to be too much for Falkirk on Saturday. I really do believe that. And I actually think Hearts losing to Dundee the way that we did is probably worse for Falkirk in a way, because we'll want to bounce back and we'll want to put in a performance after the dogs abuse that the team have got, that Naismith has got in the last 24 hours. So I think that unfortunately for Falkirk, you're going to bear the brunt of that on Saturday. And I think we'll come out all guns blazing and hoping to put in a performance and get a result that the Hearts fans will think, okay, that was a blip against Dundee at Dens. We've shown what we're really about in this cup tie. Listen, it's a cup tie, yes, anything can happen, but I just don't see Falkirk getting anywhere near us. I like a few of your players are not too bad. I like the number 8. I've said this to John before. What's the name of the number 8 player?
Brad Spencer.
I thought he was outstanding against Queen's Park. He ran the show. He was also very good against Dunfermline as well. He's a really good player. I don't know much about the boy, and I don't know where he's come from or his age or anything, but if he continues to play like that, he'll be playing at a better level than championship football. But I really like him. I like Morrison. He's a decent player. Cole Donison is what you get. He's a full-blooded, committed centre-half. I think the Spinier team's not too bad, to be honest with you. But I just think Hart's got too much quality to be troubled by Falkirk. I think it'll be a good game, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Hearts obviously have a step up in quality from, you know, Falkirk, certainly. But
Your League One squad.
What's that?
Your League One squad.
It was a championship squad built for League One, Ewan. Don't kid yourself.
League One side that are playing the championship with the same League One side from last season, you're a League One squad. You're not going to get promotion. You're going to be stuck in the championship. I have tipped you to possibly make the playoffs. I think you've got an outside chance of getting that fourth spot. I think Ayr, Raith Rovers, Partick Thistle are probably ahead of yous. Who else is in there?
Do you honestly think that after the first couple of weeks, Ewan? Do you think that's what the games and results have shown?
Well, I said it to John at the start of the season. I did actually tip Falkirk to finish in the top four. I thought they'd get the fourth spot. I really do. I think that home support and the travelling support you've got will be massive for yous. I think the momentum of what you did in League One and taking out in the Championship is going to be of great help to you as well. And listen, John McGlynn's a really good manager. I've got a lot of time for him. Remember him when he was at Hearts and that. So I think that you've got all the makings of having a really, really good season. Put it this way, you ain't going to be anywhere near the relegation zone or the playoff zone. I think that you will be knocking the door for that fourth spot. And I think you've got a chance of getting it. I really do.
He's saying nice things now. He's saying
nice. But I said that from the get-go, so I'm not going to change my mind on that. And listen, the two results have affirmed I've reaffirmed my thoughts on Falkirk this season now. Is it because teams in the Championship haven't yet worked out who Falkirk are or what they are because they're new to the league? Time will tell on that. But with what I've seen so far in the highlights of the Dunfermline game, you look solid and you've got a threat as well up top. Mm. So as long as your players stay fit and you can get on a decent run, then I think you've got a great chance of getting in the playoffs.
There you go. Well, we've got a decent... We'll see if we've got a chance. I've not checked the odds on foot of Falkirk one yet. Certainly, as Ross said, we've had a bit of an Indian sign. The last time we faced you was in 2020 in the Scottish Cup at the stadium. We weren't particularly good at that point. Hearts probably arguably weren't particularly good at that point. It was only a 1-0 win back then. But yeah, I think it'll be an interesting game. I'm not going to make it because I'm at a festival in Edinburgh that day. But Ross, you'll be going along, won't you?
Yeah, got a ticket for Saturday. It's looking like, as Ewan said, it's going to be a big crowd. Hearts have sold their 2,000. I think we've sold about 3,500 so far. So there's probably going to be 6,000 or 7,000 at the game, which is fantastic. It's not on TV. I think the weather is forecast to be pretty miserable this week. But actually, Ewan, I know you're not a big fan of the pitch, but the pitch is obviously as good as these 4G and 5G pitches are. But when it's raining and when it's wet, it actually plays fantastically. John and I saw a really good grass pitch yesterday that was bone dry and was horrible for a passing team. So I think for Falkirk and Hearts on Saturday, it's probably going to be a proper football game. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be a high scoring game from that perspective.
What score do you think it'll be, Ross?
I think there'll be a lot of goals. And I genuinely think I'm never going to go against Falkirk because I would back us against most teams, but I'm going to go Falkirk 3-2. I think there'll be a lot of goals in it. I'm going to go 3-2. I think Hearts might take the lead.
Mate, Ross, you should be in the Edinburgh Fringe, mate, with jokes like that. Fuck me.
Right, Ewan, what are you going for then?
3 or 4-1 Hearts.
3 or 4-1 Hearts.
John, what are you going for?
I'm going to take a 2-1 Falkirk win, and I'm going to have, hopefully, I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm recording the big Scottish football podcast. I do that now and again produce it with Ewan and Stephen. I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow seeing Stephen Mill, who was on last week. That'll be a great joy for me to see him tomorrow. I've got my scarf, I've got my strip, and then I'm hoping next Monday to be walking in again with my scarf and my strip when we pump Hearts out the cup. It'll be a magical moment for me. It's been a great weekend. Hearts have been beaten. Dunfermline have been beaten by Falkirk. It's been a marvellous weekend. I'm really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, Ewan. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Love and kisses. Love you, brother, and I'll see you tomorrow.
On the Jambos, Pratt.
So there we have Ewan Cameron, everyone, my friend and twat.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global.
We just had Ewan on there just now, but before we go and wrap up, tie a bow on this episode, we've got to say we've got a competition running at the moment, Ross, to win hospitality for the Hearts game.
Yes, so the commercial guys got in touch with us on Friday and asked if we could maybe help them out. So they've donated two hospitality tickets for the Hearts game. It's not the full executive Buna free drink package, but it is the corporate package where you've got a pay bar, you got a couple of meals, and all that jazz. Brilliant entertainment in the Brockville Lounge, as always, with the host Alan Dick as well. All you need to do is get in touch with us via our Twitter/X account and let us know three players who have moved from Hearts to Falkirk. That's as simple as it is. However, it's a really short time frame because this podcast will be out on Monday. We will be drawing it late Tuesday evening. So yeah, you really need to get in touch with us. I think we've had something like 70 or 80 people get in touch with us so far. So
a lot of players. It's amazing some of the players, the names that are coming up, and you completely forgot about them moving from Hearts to Falkirk. Do you know what? Yeah. I actually think this competition, we should have actually ran it. How many times was Ross in hospitality last season? We should have done it that way.
Could have done that one. Yeah,
I know. I know. But yeah, get involved with that. Check out our social media and you could be off to hospitality. Just like Ross has done many, many a time. You can live the high life like Ross and won the competition by being hospitality this Saturday for the League Cup game against Hearts, where hopefully we'll see a Falkirk win. We'll be talking about that, of course, on next week's show. We'll be looking ahead to the next game, which is Partick Thistle at home. And you know what? We should maybe get Ewan's co-host on, Kat Harvey. She's a big Thistle fan, so we'll maybe speak to Kat and look ahead to the Thistle game with her if she can come on. But thank you very much for listening to this episode. The smiles still aren't off our faces from Saturday. Get us on Apple, Spotify. Tell your friends. There's lots of people who don't listen to this podcast that are Falkirk supporters. You know, it fills up an hour in the car if you're going to the train, or if you're on the train, or you're just bored. You know, stick us on in YouTube, and it fills an hour or so, and just always talking about Falkirk. So if you know someone that doesn't listen to the podcast or watch the podcast, please let them know about us. That would be very, very kind of you to do that. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft. See us on YouTube, like I say. Subscribe there. We're almost at 1,000. Please like and subscribe, guys. Click comment below. Do all that. Please do that. And buy merch. We've got Falkirk Daft merch. I keep saying we're going to put it up on our social medias, and I never do. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Let's make that happen. Get some Falkirk Daft merch. Supporters on there. Everything we make off the merch goes back into the club. Like we say, we're sponsoring the women's team, we're sponsoring Ross McKeever's goal celebrations. What else do we sponsor, Ross?
Obviously the armband as well.
We've got a bit of the pitch.
We've got match sponsorships coming up this year as well. So all money that is used by the club for bringing players in, so all good.
Yep. Excellent, that's what we like here. We've got a Discord channel as well, details below if you want to be involved in the Falkirk Daft Forum on that. Fantastic, it's great to be a Bairn at the moment. 40 games unbeaten in the league, beating Dunfermline. Happy days.
40 games unbeaten is just unbelievable, mate, and let's hope 41 in the next couple of weeks against Partick Thistle. But a massive one would be amazing against Hearts, wouldn't it?
It would be outstanding. And as ever, it might happen because...
Expect the unexpected, buddy.
What a setup and what an execution. Come on.